Okay, let's dive in. We're unpacking stablecoins today.
Right.
Not just thinking about them as, keeping prices stable, but really as the backbone, the infrastructure for DeFi.
Yeah, absolutely. The source material really drives this home. I mean, they're settling huge volumes, something like what, $35 trillion projected for 2024?
That number is just massive, isn't it? Really shows how much they're used.
It does. But the real question we're tackling in this deep dive is what does that mean for like value capture? How much are stablecoins actually kicking back in revenue to the DeFi protocols themselves?
And the core finding, right from the sources, is pretty clear.
Yeah.
It's significant. Stablecoins are driving a big chunk of DeFi revenue now.
A really big chunk. It's climbed back up above a third recently.
That's the fascinating part, the comeback.
Exactly. The data shows this resurgence. Stablecoin revenue share hit a year-to-date high, 30.8%,
Wow.
which is a huge jump when you think it cratered to just 4.7% back in June 24.
A massive rebound in, what, less than a year. So where's this stablecoin money actually being made? Which chains?
Well, mostly Ethereum, still dominant at around 25% of this revenue,
Okay.
but layer twos are right there too, grabbing about 23%.
So really close.
Yeah, very close. Other chains like Solana are a bit further behind for now, maybe 13%.
And are the types of protocols earning changing too? I thought lending used to be the main earner here.
That's right, historically, yeah. Lending protocols, they used to get the lion's share. I think like 65% of stablecoin revenue versus maybe 20% for DESs, the decentralized exchanges.
Big difference.
Huge. But that gap has really tightened. Now it's more like 15% for lending and 11% for DEXs.
That's a fundamental shift. So what's driving this big comeback for stablecoin revenue?
It seems like a few key things. First, just the sheer growth in stablecoins on the chains.
Right.
The sources estimate maybe $159 billion, give or take, of the increase in USDT and USDC since 21 is probably sitting on chain now. That's just, fuel.
A massive pool of liquidity ready to be used.
Yeah.
Exactly. Second thing, and this is kind of interesting, counterintuitive maybe, stablecoin revenue share often goes up when the market's bullish.
Oh, okay. So people aren't just barking cash.
Not entirely, no. They're actively using stables for leverage, for yield strategies, especially when sentiment is positive. It's risk-on activity powered by stables.
So it powers the speculation too.
Precisely. There's also usually been a strong link to market volatility, although some recent macro stuff, impacting volatility indices seems to have caused a bit of a temporary split there.
Interesting. And the last driver. Something about yields.
Yeah, a direct connection to on-chain stablecoin yields. When demand to borrow stables on platforms like Aave goes up, the borrow rates go up.
Makes sense.
And higher rates mean higher revenue for the protocol from those stablecoin markets. It's pretty direct.
Okay, so that's the big picture. Let's zoom in a bit. How does this play out on different types of protocols? Maybe start with DEXs.
Sure. For DEXs, stablecoin revenue share, it's kind of cyclical, but it's definitely recovering. Projections are maybe around 20% by mid-2025.
And what's pushing that recovery?
A big part is the rise of these on-chain yield protocols. Things like Pendle, they create products around stablecoin yields, which means more demand, more trading for stable pairs.
Right, tokenizing the yield itself. And Uniswap, it's on lots of chains. Does it look different depending on where it is?
It really does, yeah. On Ethereum mainnet, fees are high, right? So stablecoin revenue spikes tend to happen around big macro events or maybe specific product launches.
Okay.
But on Arbitrum and L2, the fees are low. So you see users doing more frequent stablecoin strategies, like looping borrowing and redepositing stables for leverage. That leads to a higher, more sort of structural contribution from stables there.
And base, that's newer.
Base, yeah, newer. Historically, its DEX revenue was dominated by volatile stuff, meme coins and the like, but stablecoin activity is definitely growing.
What about Curve? It was built for stablecoins, wasn't it?
Exactly. Curve is kind of purpose-built for stable swaps, so its revenue is naturally tied to stables. It saw its stablecoin share recover to maybe 40-50% after a period where some volatile asset pools got more attention.
Okay, and then on the other end, Radium on Solana sounds completely different.
Very different, yeah. Radium's revenue is like overwhelmingly from volatile pairs, often SOL itself or meme coins.
Why so different?
It just reflects Solana's current vibe, you know? A lot of focus on speculative trading, meme coin trends, less on those stablecoin yield strategies we see elsewhere. The architecture might play a role too.
Got it. Okay, let's switch gears to lending protocols. You said the trend there is almost the opposite. stablecoin dominance is falling.
That's right. It's quite striking. Stablecoin revenue share in lending hit a multi-year low, actually, down to 12% in April 2025.
And what does that tell us?
It suggests users are feeling, well, riskier. They're more willing to use volatile assets like ETH or SOL as collateral to borrow stables, likely using those stables for higher risk plays.
So less borrowing of volatiles, more borrowing against them.
Exactly. Aave is a good example here, being so widespread.
How does it look on Aave?
You see that gradual decline across most chains, but still with variations, you get sporadic spikes on Ethereum. On Arbitrum, it's more consistent, again, because of those low-fee stable strategies people run.
Right.
And on Base, the profile is kind of shifting as more stable coins arrive there.
And quickly, Camino on Solana, also linked to meme coins.
It seems pretty linked, yeah. When meme coin mania takes off, stablecoin contribution on Camino tends to dip, and then it recovers when things cool down. Highly speculative dynamics driving it.
Okay, so let's pull this all together. What are the big takeaways, the implications here?
Well, a few things stand out. Protocols that earn more from stablecoins seem to have more predictable, maybe more resilient revenue streams, especially when markets get choppy.
That makes sense. Less dependent on volatile swings.
Exactly. Also, it's super clear that low-fee infrastructure, like on L2s, is really crucial for enabling these stablecoin strategies that generate consistent activity and revenue.
And that integration piece.
Yeah.
Connecting with the yield side.
Absolutely key. Platforms that build on top of stablecoin yield opportunities, whether it's Pendle tokenizing yield or Camino offering structured products, they're tapping into a core driver of demand.
And for the stablecoin issuers, like Tether or Circle.
For them, the lesson is they need to be deeply embedded, integrated into the leverage tools, the trading platforms, the yield primitives across all these chains. That's how they ensure demand and ultimately capture value for their specific stablecoins.
So stablecoins are really, really far beyond just being digital dollars for stability. They're like fundamental economic engines in DeFi.
Totally.
And tracking the percentage of revenue they drive gives us this live signal, doesn't it? About sentiment, user behavior, how risk is being priced.
Yeah, and where the value is actually ending up in the ecosystem. It tells a rich story.
Which kind of leaves us with a final thought for you, the listener.
Right. Maybe think about this. How could tracking that stablecoin revenue share, not just overall, but maybe on specific chains or even specific protocols, give you a different kind of real-time insight, a signal about user strategies, market maturity? That's totally separate from just looking at token prices.